The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Hereby finds you guilty of counts 1 and 2 in the indictment.
None of Saunders' family or friends were there in the courtroom. The 56-year-old was found guilty of voting several times in the 2020 and 2022 general elections. According to the Cuyahoga County prosecutor, in 2020, Saunders voted in person in Ohio and Florida. He allegedly voted early in Ohio. In 2022, the prosecutor says he voted in person in Ohio and by mail in Florida.
You have violated with impunity one of our most cherished rights, that every citizen in this country, regardless of race, creed, or socioeconomic status, speaks with one voice and one vote.
Someone finally convicted of voter fraud, and as it happens, it's a guy who voted for Donald Trump. He voted a couple of times, but they got him. And I mean to tell you, the judge, I mean, he came down hard. 3 years in prison. I think it's a $100,000 fine. And more importantly, the judge, I mean, the judge sounded so tough. I mean, I'm not justifying the guy's actions, but with all of the thousands and thousands of mules on tape stuffing ballot boxes, all of these secretaries of state suspending the laws of the states in order to send out mail-in ballots to millions and millions of people, the computer glitches, the spike in the middle of the night, the ballot dumps at 3 a.m. Amid all of that, finally, they got a Republican who voted a couple of times in 2020 and 2022. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this show at TrumpetDaily.com or at our Rumble channel. Just go to The Trumpet Daily at Rumble, and you can join in on the live conversation. You can leave some comments, and you can always, always, always leave us the Rumble thumbs up. Don't forget about the email address, td@thetrumpet.com. And also my Twitter handle is @StephenFleury. That's @Stephen with a PH in the middle, @StephenFleury over at Twitter. We've got lots of clips to get to on today's program. But just back to this story, this voter fraud in Ohio. The judge, I guess it's a $10,000 fine. I see here in my notes, a 3-year prison sentence. The judge said that this guy's actions were purposeful and deliberate. But I think what's significant here is he said that, what did he say? That he violated the fundamental right of every individual in the country. That's right. He stole votes from someone else. So, okay, I agree. I agree with what the judge said. But where are these high profile on video goes across social media? I mean, Dinesh D'Souza put it out there on video in his documentary, 2000 Mules. Have you seen any high profile cases of voter fraud since that evidence was shown to the whole nation? Of course not. It just shows, doesn't it? Now, I don't know anything about this judge. I don't know if he's appointed by Clinton or Obama or Trump. But it just shows, doesn't it? That, I mean, if it's a Republican and they catch you, I mean, there's two standards that we're working with here. And it also shows most of these judges are left-wing communists. So they're not going to rule against some Democrat like Stacey Abrams. But I think the ones that aren't, you know, communists through and through, they're also intimidated. There's just not too many Ken Paxtons out there who will just go right after voter fraud. If it's happening in Harris County or in Austin, Texas, or in Dallas or San Antonio, most of them just turn a blind eye to it. Somehow, the judges only show a spine, a backbone, if it's a conservative that they're going after. Pretty amazing. You look at the destruction that has been brought upon this country. As Steve Bannon says, stolen elections have consequences, and we're seeing it. Look at the border catastrophe. I spent a lot of time on this on Friday's program. The guys in the booth put together a pretty amazing montage. And let me just, again, it just kind of summarizes everything that's been happening these last few weeks. And as I brought out on Friday's show, go back and see that at the Rumble channel. You can scroll down. We're going to talk, too, about some of these higher profile interviews that we've given to General Michael Flynn and Carrie Lake. We've got some clips from those interviews. If you go to the Rumble channel, just scroll down a little ways. I think Carrie Lake might still be on page one if you scroll down to the bottom. General Flynn, you'll have to go to, I think, the second page to get to some of those videos. But around about August 21, August 22, we had the General Flynn interview. And then Carrie Lake's was just 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago tomorrow, I guess it is. But this is the montage that the guys put together respecting the catastrophe happening at the southern border. Clip three.
The activity along the southern border is just starting to explode.
On September 18, 2023, the city of Eagle Pass, Texas, experienced a severe undocumented immigrant surge into the city from Mexico. Local state of disaster is hereby declared for the city of Eagle Pass, Texas.
Look at the numbers of people crossing into the United States.
We've never seen this before. This is not normal, and we shouldn't have to be going through a situation like this in the United States.
It has been a complete free-for-all out here in Eagle Pass. These people just show up at the river's edge, they walk down to the edge of the river, they get into the water, then they cross over to the U.S. side. Non-stop groups, non-stop illegal crossings here. Border Patrol has been bringing buses in for the last 2 hours, trying to get them out and process them as fast as they can, and they're going to be expected to be released into the United States.
We have thousands of people coming in without one single consequence. It's just not fair. I think that this is unacceptable.
President Biden is to blame for the surge because he's created the perception that the border is open.
We put in place policies that process people in a fair and fast way. I've also directed my team to make a historic increase in the number of refugees admitted from Latin America.
They are predominantly single adult men filing into the country. A lot of them waving to our cameras, chanting Venezuela. Karine Jean-Pierre was up at the White House podium saying that their administration was, quote, stopping the flow. They're not.
We have taken actions. We have taken multiple actions. As you know, the president has taken action upon action to try and deal what is happening at the border. Historic action.
Joe Biden had his Border Patrol officers cut through that razor wire, and then they pulled the razor wire and suddenly let in hundreds, if not thousands, of people illegally into Texas, into the United States.
Guys, the port of entry is directly above these migrants. That shadow you see, that's the bridge. That's the port of entry. That's the legal way to do it. They're deciding to do it illegally. They don't want to wait for the paperwork. They don't want to wait for hearings. They don't want to wait for this or that. The bottom line, the migrants are not buying the Biden administration's threats of more consequences.
Are you kidding me? 472,000 Venezuelans just got temporary protected status so that they could work. And with that, they get social security numbers. And with that social security number, you know what they can do? They can get a license. And with that, then they can register to vote. This past month of September, and we're not even done yet, will be the highest number of illegals coming through the border. So the question is, why are we not enforcing the law? Joe Biden did everything he could to make sure that this country can be invaded, and we are being invaded. This is what he wants.
What do you call it here at the White House when 10,000 people illegally cross the border in a single day?
So what do you call it, Peter, when GOP puts forth a wait, no, you can't. I'm answering. Okay, we're gonna move. No, we're moving on.
They just move on, as I said Friday on the program. But this, like several, there were several columns last week saying that it's intentional. Victor Davis Hanson gave what we quoted it at length on Friday's show. It's intentional This is the plan. And the fake president admitted it last week. Listen to this from the fake president, number three.
We're significantly expanding legal pathways for entry so businesses can get the workers they need. Families don't have to wait for a decade to be together. I've also directed my team to make a historic increase in the number of refugees admitted from Latin America.
Significantly expanding the legal pathways to get these people in, because this is what the businesses want. He said, and this was in the montage as well, to make historic increases in the number of refugees coming in from Latin America. I quoted Deuteronomy 28, verses 43 through 46 on Friday's show. Go back and read that on your own time and request the United States and Britain in prophecy. I guess I can give you at least verse 43 of that passage. This is Deuteronomy 28. The stranger that is within you shall get up above you very high, and you shall come down very low. We're living through that prophecy. That prophecy is being fulfilled. It's discussed in the United States and Britain in prophecy. The 800 number, it's 1-866-930-3024. Call our operators today and request your free copy of Herbert Armstrong's masterpiece on Bible prophecy, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. Yes, we do factor in to end-time prophecy. Our nations do. The website is thetrumpet.com. You can get to this book also at our website, thetrumpet.com. So either way, if you want to read it today, go to the website. If you want a hard copy in the mail a few days from now, then call our operators. This is from an article in the Trumpet magazine. Back in 2005, almost 20 years ago, the trouble with immigration, it says two areas affected by immigration cause particular concern, the economy and crime. It says in the era of big government, burdening the middle class and the rich with heavy taxes and giving handouts to an increasing number of poor dependents. That's what's happening. The government's giving them, they're not only letting them in, they're giving them handouts. That's why they're coming in droves, because they get free money. They get free phones. They get free hotel rooms. They get free flights to anywhere in the country. It's unbelievable. And we just passed $33 trillion in debt. People are furious. I saw a clip of Fox News. They were in Montana somewhere going around saying, hey, we got the Republican debate coming up next week. Who do you have your eye on? Every single one of them, including the young people in that restaurant. Trump. Yeah, well, Trump's not in the debate. Doesn't matter. I'm for Trump. This is why. This is one reason why. Because he says we're going to close the border and we're going to have the biggest deportation operation in U.S. history. It can't, the country can't survive this. It's unsustainable. And why is Donald Trump the only one pointing this out? Where are the Republicans? Where's the action, the strong, decisive action from Governor Abbott or some of the other governors? I mean, you have a few speak out. The mayor of Eagle Pass is saying, look, this is not fair what's happening here. We're only a town of 28,000 people. We've got 30 or 40,000 refugees. And some of them are hardened criminals. Governor Hochul, I played that clip for you last week. She said, we've got over 100,000 in New York City. That's it. We're at capacity. We can't take in any more. These are Democrats. It says here In this respect, even legal immigrants are placing an increasing burden on the U.S. economy. It's just costing billions and billions of dollars. A couple years ago, Ken Paxton, the AG in Texas, who survived the impeachment proceedings because he fought back. He fought back against Bush Republicans and Joe Obama's deep state. Paxton said illegal immigration costs Texas taxpayers over $850 million every single year. Nearly $1 billion. That's what it costs taxpayers in Texas. Just Texas alone. This is from the Federation for American Immigration Reform. It says a new report by this group finds that as of 2022, American taxpayers shell out at least $151 billion each year to cover the cost of illegal immigration. Broken down, the data reveals that taxpayers pay $182 billion annually to provide services and benefits to illegal aliens and dependents. It's just astronomical figures. And we're paying for this. We're sending billions and instead of paying $150 billion for a border security fence, for more security at the border, we're actually paying to accommodate the illegals, paying them when they arrive, and then sending the money off to Ukraine so that Ukraine can have a secure border, not the United States. No, no. This is the ruling class. This is the childish leadership at the helm here in the United States. It really is sad to see just how much damage they are causing. The ruling class, I mentioned Bob Menendez on Friday's show. This is from CNN. It says, New Jersey Democratic Senator Bob Menendez was charged on Friday with corruption-related offenses for the second time in 10 years. It seems to pop up with him quite often. It says here, Menendez and his wife are accused of accepting hundreds of thousands of dollars in bribes in exchange for the senator's influence, according to a newly unsealed federal indictment. Pay to play on a very small scale compared to the Biden crime family. Several hundred thousand dollars, including literal gold bars, cash stuffed in his clothing. So he wasn't as smart about it, Menendez. He didn't have all the LLCs around the world so that he could launder the money first. He just did it openly, brazenly, audaciously. And I'm surprised the feds even went after him. Apparently, he was bribed by Egypt. It's a sellout. If it's true, same with Biden, those people. How many traitors are in Washington, D.C.? How many are there, like the shepherds of Ezekiel 34? How many are there to feed themselves instead of to feed ordinary Americans? They're so eager to line their own pockets, to give your money to illegal aliens. And then what's left for you, the American taxpayer? Well, in a lot of cases, it's higher taxes. We've got to foot the bill for all this illegal activity. This is how a nation dies. This is how a nation commits suicide. Mark Milley, he's set to retire. And he's coming out, he's giving this this softball interview by Jeffrey Goldberg. And Milley all but admits, yeah, I orchestrated a coup against Donald Trump. And I'm proud of it. I mean, I led the military coup. I was hostile to Donald Trump's leadership. I resisted it. I undermined his authority. Even though he was my boss, even though he was the president of the United States. To think about what some of these people are getting away with in broad daylight. Like I mentioned on Friday's show, you've got all these Venezuelan men, young men, military age men, and they're just walking, they're sauntering into the United States. They're walking, you know, pretty slowly in single file. They're not worried about DHS apprehending them or chasing them down or deporting them. They know, you see, they get across the Rio Grande, they know they've got it made. This puff piece on Milley, Jeffrey Goldberg says, in normal times, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs and principal military advisor to the president is supposed to focus his attention on America's national security challenges and on the readiness and lethality of its armed forces. But the first 16 months of Milley's term, a period that ended when Joe Biden succeeded Donald Trump as president, were not normal because Trump was exceptionally unfit to serve. Trump, says Jeffrey Goldberg, was exceptionally unfit to serve. What does he know? He's just some journalist. I think he's at The Atlantic, right? What about the people in Montana at that restaurant saying, I don't really care about the debate next week. I'm for Trump. I'm for Trump. The arrogance of some of these people in the regime media, or the arrogance of Milley to just basically thumb his nose at Donald Trump when he was president, a duly elected president of these United States. It says here, Milley was careful to refrain from commenting publicly on Trump's cognitive unfitness. Trump's cognitive unfitness, of all things. I mean, what's the elephant in the room here? You've got someone now, he's fake, he was installed, can barely put together a coherent sentence. Everybody can see it. And they're going on and on about Trump. Trump's cognitive unfitness and moral derangement. Who do these people think they are? Everybody loved Trump before 2015. Couldn't get enough of him. They loved the TV show. They loved the fact that he was building golf courses and hotels all over the country and the world. It says here in interviews, he would say that it is not the place of the nation's flag officers to discuss the performance of the nation's civilian leaders. When I mentioned to Milley my view that Trump was mentally and morally unequipped to make decisions concerning war and peace, he would say only, the president alone decides to launch nuclear weapons, but he doesn't launch them alone. He then repeated the sentence. This is the journalist, quote unquote, this is the journalist saying, when I mentioned to Milley that Trump was mentally and morally unequipped for the job, who reads this stuff? Who can work their way through this? Well, MSNBC and those guys, I mean, the New York Times, the Washington Post, they love it. They love them some Jeffrey Goldberg, that's for sure. Listen to this from, I think it's MSNBC, a few days ago, clip 5.
What I realized about General Milley is that he was put in a position no chairman of the Joint Chiefs has ever been put in before. So there have been 20 chairmen of the Joint Chiefs. No one has ever had to deal with a president like this. And so he was like a dervish in that period, just running around trying to keep everybody calm and keep the system from completely malfunctioning. And I don't know if he's gotten enough credit for that. Obviously, he's gotten the attention of the right wing, who thinks that he undermined Trump. But what he actually did was he upheld the Constitution.
Okay, right. He didn't undermine Donald Trump's presidency. He upheld the Constitution by rebelling against Trump, by leading a coup, a military coup against Donald Trump. So Trump is the one who's cognitively, morally unfit, unequipped for the job. Then meanwhile, you've got the dear leader out there telling the young people of this world to stay angry. Listen, we played this on Friday. Listen again, clip 2.
So to all the young people out there, as well as those of you who consider yourselves young at heart, I want you to stay angry. I want you to stay frustrated. But channel that anger. Harness that frustration. Keep pushing harder and harder for more and more.
Think about Donald Trump in that speech at the Ellipse on January 6, 2021. Think about if he told the million supporters that showed up. Think about if he would have said, I want you to stay angry. I want you to stay frustrated. I want you to channel it. You channel it at Congress. As it is, he said, hey, let's go and protest peacefully. And they want to lead. They want to get him as the leader of an insurrection. And this guy, the dear leader, he can say whatever he wants. He can say whatever he wants. This Goldberg piece. He went on to say, he's quoting Milley here, President Trump never ordered me to tell the military to do something illegal. He never did that. I think that's an important point. Well, I would say it is an important point. He was the president of the United States, duly elected, never told you to do anything illegal, and yet here is this piece full of implications, full of innuendo, maybes, might haves. And yet Milley, from his own mouth, says, he never did anything illegal. He never asked me to do anything illegal. Okay, then, so what's the problem? They just hated Donald Trump. They hated him. Jeffrey Goldberg hates him. MSNBC hates him. There really is deranged mental behavior, not on the part of Donald Trump, but on the part of these people. Satan really does have a stranglehold on their thinking. Trump derangement syndrome. It's real. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. I'm trying to catch my breath here. The email address, td@thetrumpet.com, if you want to send us some feedback. And also, the Twitter handle, that would be @StephenFleury, with a PH on Stephen, in the middle of Stephen, @StephenFleury. We'll be right back.
He was entrapped by Obama's henchmen.
America Under Attack describes is the who, what, when, where, why, and how.
Besieged by the left-wing legal system.
About what it is that we are facing.
The first target of Obama's coup.
You want to know what's going on? If you want to understand what's happening, go read it.
Why Michael Flynn? America Under Attack explains.
It's this message. It's this title. America Under Attack.
They all sound like Marxists anymore to me. That's all they sound like to me. I want you to listen to a montage from Trumpet Daily. Hat tip to them. Democrats and the media. There is no evidence. There is no evidence.
Hat tip to us. That's Mark Levin, of course. Playing one of our montages. That was, I think, a couple weeks ago. The one where we had all of these Democrats saying there's no evidence of any crimes in the Biden family. It's crazy. Crazy reasoning. Deranged thinking. Trump derangement syndrome. But we have been getting a fair bit of attention from conservative media because of some of our montages and our interviews as well. You saw the new promo that we've put together regarding America Under Attack. And if you saw the interview on August 21st and August 22nd, there was a lot that General Flynn had to say about God's work and about this book by my father. When we picked him up for the interview, he had a copy of that book in his hand, America Under Attack. He requested one back in February of this year and actually contacted us and said he wanted to talk to the author. And of course, then we worked it out where he could eventually visit our campus. And those of you that follow the work closely, you know just how much was going on around August 21st and 22nd. In any event, it's been a huge year for God's church and work. My father wrote this coworker letter back in May of this year, where he said that this is possibly the most important summer ever for God's work. We had the Ophel excavation going on in Jerusalem. We had the fourth season of the Celtic Throne Tour going all the way through the Northeast and the Eastern Seaboard. We had the performance, the Celtic Throne performance for General Flynn, really, and for his party, along with several hundred others. But that was when he arrived. That's the first event that he was able to see. Through this year, we've gotten a new TV, a powerful TV station for the Key of David in the Philippines. We had a ministerial conference for the first time in 4 years. Everybody from around the world could attend because there were no more travel bans because of the COVID scaremongering that happened a few years ago. We had another successful summer educational program. We're hard at work on the sequel, or some would say prequel, to Celtic Throne, a second show that's in motion. This is from that May issue, or that May coworker letter. My father said, this could be the most important summer in the history of the PCG. God has given us the charge to expose the devil like never before through America Under Attack. He is taking his message, and he is taking his message of warning and of hope to the world through personal appearance campaigns and through Celtic Throne. He's uniting his ministry in a conference at his headquarters. He's given us the opportunity to sponsor and directly participate in another excavation in Jerusalem. Just all these amazing events in God's work. I mean, God's work is uppermost in his mind, and it should be in ours as well. I've said before just some of the really amazing and even miraculous twists and turns that happened since our initial contact with General Flynn, how that it led to a public address that he gave on August 21st. He was nice enough to do a live interview with us and to record another segment. As I say, he sat down and viewed Celtic Throne. He spent time with us on campus. He talked to our young people in a forum. He was able to dine with us. He was very generous with his time for those 2 days or so that he was here. This was a News of the Work segment that we prepared a few weeks ago regarding that visit. Clip 6.
On the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus, the school year got off to an exciting start with the long-anticipated visit of General Michael Flynn. General Flynn is a U.S. Army three-star general who served in Grenada, Haiti, the Balkans, and other deployments over a 33-year career. He served as Director of Intelligence for Joint Special Operations Command in Afghanistan and Iraq, and later for the Defense Intelligence Agency. After warning against President Barack Obama's Middle East policy, he was forced into retirement from the DIA. When he became National Security Advisor to President Donald Trump, the general's enemies targeted him for entrapment and removal from office in 2017. In 2020, General Flynn was exonerated when the Department of Justice dropped its charges against him as unjustified. Chapter 6 of America Under Attack, titled Silencing a Critic, describes the unfair attacks that General Flynn faced, beginning with his time at the DIA. After reading America Under Attack, General Flynn called the Philadelphia Church of God to request more copies of the book. Following this call, General Flynn and his staff exchanged messages with Trumpet Daily host Mr. Stephen Flurry over the next few months. Eventually, a door opened for General Flynn to visit the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus on August 20th and 21st. On Sunday, August 20th, General Michael Flynn arrived on campus in time to watch a special encore performance of Celtic Throne. Afterwards, he congratulated the cast and crew on a fantastic show and then took some group photos with the Celtic Throne family.
You guys are amazing. I mean, you really, really have incredible talent. And when we heard the story about all the connections and all the family and stuff, that makes it even more special. So I just want to say thank you guys very much for all that you're doing. Because you're actually out there, you're inspiring this nation. When you went around New England and up and down the seaboard, wherever else you go, you are inspiring this nation. And that's something that we need right now. So thanks for doing that.
That evening, General Flynn attended a special banquet on the balcony of Armstrong Auditorium with a small group of faculty, ministers, and other guests. The next day, General Flynn visited the Imperial Academy elementary students, spending some time with the children and discussing what they were learning in school. Then he gave a special two-part interview on the Trumpet Daily program. After lunch at the John Amos Fieldhouse, the general spoke to the Imperial Academy students and homeschool students from the local area, instructing them on some lessons from his personal life. After a meet and greet with Philadelphia Church of God employees and AC students, General Flynn gave a special live-streamed keynote address to the general public at Armstrong Auditorium. He answered a number of questions from the crowd and then visited with attendees in the lobby. General Flynn said that meeting the young people at Herbert W. Armstrong College and Imperial Academy reminded him what he was fighting for. The general's visit was a unique opportunity for members and students to meet a courageous public figure who has dedicated his life to serving his country. To learn more about the work of the Philadelphia Trumpet, visit thetrumpet.com.
Trumpet.com or thetrumpet.com, that's the website where you can learn more about the work of God's church. You can also get to all of our free material. The literature that we offer on this show is offered without cost or obligation. just call our operators and request if you want hard copies, or you can go to the website, thetrumpet.com. Our TV channel or channel on Rumble is The Trumpet Daily. You can search for that. But let me just give you the 800 number one more time, 1-866-930-3024. The way that the meeting with General Flynn worked out, I mean, it was, as I said earlier, it was in many ways pretty miraculous. And we're still having some productive dialogue with his team as we try to get some other interviews set up and perhaps some other activities. We'll see. But this is, I'm going to go back to the days of Herbert Armstrong. His work as he presided over the Worldwide Church of God. This was from 1977, written by Stanley Rader. And he said, I want to emphasize the fact that this entire work has been built on faith. There's no way to emphasize that too much. If anybody thinks that is untrue and thinks that this work was built because of some other activity or some other group, of people, I'm certain that they will find out how wrong they are. The work would not survive 6 months without faith. It is a work of faith. But when you walk by faith, I mean, we've been around now for 33, 34 years, and you're really beginning to see some pretty exciting fruits, some impressive fruits. The Bible says to judge by fruits, Matthew 7, verses 16 through 20. And when you think about just laying the groundwork, as God has done, the early years of the PCG, or even this program, I mean, I guess we've been broadcasting for almost 8.5 years, but it started basically in the cellar of Edstone, down in the basement, concrete walls all around, just a little audio transmission going out over the internet. It was radio only. It didn't go to television broadcasting until the fall of 2019. So from 2015 to then 2019, and then of course we were transferred back here to our headquarters campus in Edmond, Oklahoma, 2.5 years ago. But even the studio and all the equipment here, I mean, both General Flynn and Kerry Lake were very impressed with the professional studio that God has blessed us with, and we're certainly able now to do some bigger and better things. Listen to this. This is General Flynn from that first interview that we did with him, and he's talking at length about America Under Attack. This is clip 7.
When I read it, I'm like, okay, now who wrote this? You know, now I'm looking at, you know, and I am compelled, and I was compelled to reach out to Gerald Flurry, and so they sent me a bunch of them because I said, send me as many as you can, and I don't know how many you sent me, maybe 20 or so.
I think it was 20. Yeah.
And I handed them out to my family, I handed them out to everybody, and I said, you got to read this because it's not just what it says in here about, little old General Mike Flynn. It's what it's the theme of it and the idea behind it. What America Under Attack describes is kind of the who, what, when, where, why, and how. It really does is about what it is that we are facing. And he brings this sort of biblical direction in it as he leaves, the reader at the end to make sure that we really do return to the strength of our nation, which is really the foundation of our nation, which is based on Judeo-Christian principles and values. And there's been a couple of books that have made me feel like that. And I've reached out to other authors to say, your book had such deep meaning. And then I go out and I tell people, to read them. I mean, I tell people, you got to go read these books. If you want to know what's going on, if you want to understand what's happening, go read it. It's not just this book. It's this message. It's this title, America Under Attack. And we are under attack. And boy, have I felt it. Have I felt it personally?
That's from the interview. I think that's our second highest viewed video on the Rumble channel, somewhere near 100,000 views. We weren't expecting him to talk at length about the book. We didn't ask him to, but he came in and brought it up himself. In fact, when he was at the public address, where we had like 750 people in attendance, all from all around the community, he mentioned America Under Attack toward the end of his address as well. Skip ahead to number 10.
We've got to use the power that the vision of our founders gave us. I mean, look at just having this event tonight. We have this event tonight because of this little thing right here, this little thin little thing, okay? And we can still do it. But little by little, and in its Gerald's book, America Under Attack. Yeah, read that book, read it.
Some clapping, some cheering for the book. And then he says, yeah, read it. Yeah, you should read it. And we agree, you should. We also taught, if you go to America Under Attack, you look at chapter 6, there's the chapter called Silencing a Critic. And of course, that is about the way that Obama's deep state went after General Flynn, got him fired and so on. He was barely settling into his job for President Trump as the national security advisor. So we got him during the second interview to talk about the coup that Barack Obama, the dear leader, unleashed against Donald Trump. This is clip 8.
This is 5 January 2017. So the Obama administration was trying to do everything that they could to undermine everything. They undermine, basically, to usurp the incoming Trump administration. That was the day, to me, 5 January 2017, is a sort of the official start date of the coup led by Barack Obama against the United States of America to undermine a sitting president, a duly elected sitting president of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump. And here we are, August 2023, and we're still in the throes of that coup.
Still in the throes of a coup, 7 years on. Now, when he was here, speaking of the way, the twists and turns in God's work, when he was here, a lady was kind enough to give us a brochure saying that Carrie Lake was going to be in Oklahoma City 3 weeks after the Flynn engagement. And so we worked during those 3 weeks, and it's quite the contrast compared to the relationship that we developed with General Flynn's team. It went over months as we prepared for that event. With Carrie Lake, it was much more, well, right up until the last minute. She even said, as we dropped her off at her hotel after she granted us that interview, that she didn't know much about us at all, but that we just seemed like nice people, and she wanted to accommodate our request, and she did. She spent a couple of hours with us on this campus, and it was wonderful. When she was here, when she was on this program, we were able to ask her about General Flynn's comments regarding the rolling coup, and this is what she had to say, clip 11.
We had General Michael Flynn here 3 weeks ago, and he said that he felt like on January 5th, 2017, 2 weeks before Donald Trump's inaugurated, that that's when the official start date of the coup against Donald Trump and America's government, or who they elected as president. And then he said that going through now, fast forward into 2023, we're still in the throes of the coup. I mean, would you go so far as to say that this from the beginning was a coup attempt by Barack Obama?
You could call it that. I mean, an insurrection, really, yeah. When they were trying to thwart the will of the people. I believe we're at the late stages of a Marxist takeover, yeah, of our country. And we're in the last battles of this war. This is a war not being fought with bullets, but there is a war that's happening against our republic. And yeah. I think that's a fair assessment. I think there was a coup when they stole our election in, yeah, Arizona. There was a coup and a takeover of our state government. The people's will was taken from them when they rigged an election,
right,
and they installed people in our state government who were not duly elected. And this is why I continue to fight every day, and I don't care what the fake news says about me. God knows who I am. I'm good with God. I'm good with my family and my loved ones. And I think when I meet people and have an opportunity to have a connection with people, they realize that, oh my goodness, everything the fake news has said about this woman is false. But they have to paint me in that light, because if they start telling the truth, their days are numbered. People will go, well, you guys have been lying. You guys have been part of the problem. And I believe that the truth will come out faster. The truth will eventually come out, though.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of how quickly.
Yeah. A couple of pretty good sound bites there from General Michael Flynn and then, of course, Carrie Lake there after that. She explained also when she sat down with us why Donald Trump has made himself to be such a massive target for these Marxist revolutionaries. And here's what she had to say about Trump resisting against this globalist agenda. This is clip 13.
They had to defeat President Trump because their globalist agenda was not going to work with President Trump in the White House. He's not going to let America turn into some globalist blob that, you know, Klaus Schwab is in charge of and George Soros. And they had to defeat him. And yet they looked at where the country was going, the prosperity in this country. Trump lowered taxes. He brought peace to the Middle East. The Abraham Accords 3 years ago, I believe, today or tomorrow, this week, he brought peace to the Middle East. We were told that wasn't even possible. He ended ISIS. He was starting to end all the wars. He didn't start any new wars. We had a record economy. Every class of citizen was doing better. Unemployment, record low unemployment. The best economy in my life, and I've been around for a while, and things were going so well. And they knew that they couldn't defeat him with just the lies that the fake news was pumping out. They had to create something where they did mass mail-in ballots.
Yeah.
And those ballots are going to everyone. We had one address in, I think it was the Liz Harris report, where there were 75 people registered to a dirt lot in Maricopa County. They were getting through their NGOs, they were signing up and registering people to vote, people who probably don't even exist. And, you know, it really is still a problem now because those people are still on the voter rolls.
Yeah.
And they're still using that. What they do is they mail them out. They mail all these ballots out. The ones that get sent back, they're gathering up and filling out.
Right.
It is the most corrupt thing ever. And
ballot
if we don't.
Harvesting.
Ballot harvesting. Yeah. And I think our side's pretty honest. They don't want to do that.
Yeah.
We can't break laws. I don't condone law breaking, but we need to get rid of mail-in ballots. And that's why our case that's coming up later this month, September 21st and 25th, where we're going to try to get access to those envelopes to show people these aren't even legitimate ballots. They have no signatures at all, which means they shouldn't be counted. Or they have a chicken scratch that doesn't even match the voter record.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that everybody wants convenience, but I talk to voters all over this country.
Yeah.
Independent, even Democrat voters, they don't want convenience over security and honesty.
For sure, yeah. All of these Democrat voters, their addresses at a vacant lot. But don't worry. There's a judge in Ohio that finally got a Republican, convicted a Republican for voting a few times in 2020. It's amazing how much corruption the radical left, the communist left, has gotten away with. We asked Carrie Lake just more generally about Donald Trump's leadership when he was president. Listen to what she has to say here, clip 14.
What was it you said recently about Donald Trump, just his leadership overall, and I think either one of the greatest presidents ever, or?
I think he is. I mean, yeah. I think he's the most consequential president.
Yeah.
You know, George Washington was pretty awesome, but I think President Trump is going to be the president that saves the republic.
Yeah.
Because we're on the verge of losing it. Besides that, he is also one of the most consequential leaders in human history. I'm putting him up there with that. And I love his love for this country. I love his patriotism. I love his willingness to step out of his comfortable life into the firing, into the firing squad practically, and take the incoming every day, speak the truth, and be willing to get in there and fight for us.
Yeah. One of the most consequential leaders in world history. That's quite an endorsement of Donald Trump. And again, when you think about some of the things we've written in America Under Attack, you can see why we were so happy with both of those interviews that happened just a few weeks ago. We will take a quick break and then conclude today's show with some viewer feedback coming from you, the viewer. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Daily news, Bible prophecy. See the connection on The Trumpet Daily. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the flood of news and information?
You need something to sift the news and bring you only what matters most. You need the Trumpet Daily. You also need something to help you understand not just what's happening now, but what will happen next. You need the Trumpet Daily. Only the Trumpet Daily accurately matches daily news to precise Bible prophecies. Because Bible prophecy is the only tool up to the task of sifting the news down to what's important and showing you what will happen next. Join host Stephen Fleury every weekday. Go to TrumpetDaily.com.
There you go. Go to TrumpetDaily.com, or you can go to our Rumble channel. Just go to Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. It takes you right to our channel. You can get in on the live conversation that happens during the live broadcast. You can leave some comments after the fact, and you can always, always, always give us that thumbs up rating. A few emails coming in. The email address, by the way, td@thetrumpet.com, if you'd like to submit some feedback. Two humongous thumbs up for the programs with General Mike Flynn and Carrie Lake. Your programs are full of substance and informative knowledge. Keep up the great work. God is definitely behind you. My prayers are for this great work God is doing. Another one from California here says, I want to tell you how much I love the show. I'm a former member of the PCG, and God is calling me back. The show is so inspiring, and I look forward to it every day. I'm in touch with the SoCal minister, and I'm hoping to meet him after the feast. I'm also doing the Bible study course, and I'm learning so much. Thank you for keeping the faith and holding fast to God's truth. This one here says, my husband and I once met you in person when you were taking a tour of the Armstrong, when we were taking a tour of the Armstrong complex last year in Edmond. You had just finished filming your daily show, and you were sitting out in the foyer when we met you. We were also given free books written by your father and Mr. Armstrong. My husband has been taking your Bible study correspondence course as well. I recently read America Under Attack, a great book, it says. Before you know it, you will have to update it again, ha, it says. We also came to see the Celtic Throne performance last July and saw Michael Flynn in person at your auditorium, and just saw your interview with Carrie Lake. Everything was wonderful. Great interview. So this is someone that's coming along and quite active and engaged in the activities of the church. This one here says, New York City's paying $10 million per day for new illegal migrants. The U.S. probably will turn into a third world country. My son has been over to India numerous times for his work. Cities like Mumbai, he said, people sleep on the streets at night. That could happen here. I think it is happening here in some of our cities. It says in Los Angeles, there are blocks filled with tents on the sidewalks for as far as you can see. 50,000 homeless there. The smell of the open air restroom is indescribable. Thanks so much for the Trumpet Daily. Another one here says, did we hear that correctly? Did Joe Biden previously drive a school bus? Anyone else find that disturbing? great programs, high entertainment value. Another one here says, no question about it. Mr. Fleury is correct in saying that the elites in America conspired with the CCP to destroy the booming Trump economy. I think the mail-in ballots were probably an unintended side benefit, but maybe not. Maybe not. This one here says, she should definitely be, this is in response to the Carrie Lake interview, she should definitely be our next vice president. Also, thank you for a riveting interview. Another one here says, hello, Trumpet Daily. I'm not sure if you and the staff really know the impact that your show has on people. It's a delight for me each day. I'm able to hear it, and the other brethren I chat with about the show also love it. I was so ignited to hear that Carrie Lake would be on the show. I shared the news with several people that day, the best news program around. Thank you for the laughter and the truth. I just listened to the viewer feedback segment of the program, but even during that part, I learned some things that are said in passing that I do think that it's good that not only are people like General Flynn or Mrs. Lake given some input on the program, but the viewers also. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, hopefully we can read it on the air. The email address, td@thetrumpet.com. Don't forget about the thumbs up over at the Rumble channel, rumble.com/trumpetdaily. The Twitter handle, if you want to follow me on Twitter, that would be @StephenFlurry. Join in on the fun there at Twitter. You are listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.